Ladies and gentlemen, on the third episode of the Final Cut Movie Podcast, we are going to be talking about the upcoming Five Nights at Freddy's movie, as well as Quentin Tarantino. We are going to be doing a Quentin Tarantino digital video detail of the week, and we are going to be discussing Quentin Tarantino in the main event when we rank every Quentin Tarantino movie ever made. So stay tuned, grab your popcorn, and take your seats. 'Cause it's showtime. Hello everyone and welcome to the third episode of the Final Cut Movie Podcast. I'm your host, of course. This is Dilly. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, everywhere at This Is Dilly. And let's get rolling right away, folks. This is the third episode and this is going to be a good one. We're talking about mainly Quentin Tarantino today. That's like our main focus. We're also going to be talking about the FNAF movie that's coming out. I've been pretty skeptical about that, but I'm excited to talk about it. It is coming out here pretty soon, by the end of the month. And as you heard in the intro there, so we are going to be doing a Quentin Tarantino-related digital video detail, as well as ranking every Quentin Tarantino movie. It's probably going to be a long one, but it's going to be a good one. So as mentioned, grab your popcorn, take your seats. The first thing we're going to be doing today is talking about the new FNAF movie. So I was a FNAF fan, like I was a fan of the games growing up. I don't know if I'd say growing up necessarily, because I mean, when they started coming out, I was already, you know, in my tens. When was the first FNAF movie that came out? I'm already, like, going off on tangents, because that's just kind of what I do. The first one came out in 2014, so I would have been 12 turning 13. So, you know, I was pretty young. I fit the demographic right away, and I was into the games as soon as they came out. It was a big deal. So, they have been talking about a FNAF movie, or there have at least been talks about a FNAF movie for years now. I would say since, like, the second one came out, there was talks about it. It says here that in April of 2015, Warner Bros. Pictures announced it had acquired the film rights to the FNAF series. So, they were going to make one in 2015. So it's only been, you know, like 7 years since the original talkings. Throughout the years, there's been more talks. Like, Scott Cawthon's been talking about it. Everyone's been talking about it. There were talks of Blumhouse doing it. Like, lots of talks, but no action getting done, really. So we are finally getting our hands on the FNAF movie. And I gotta say, it looks promising to an extent. Does it look like it's gonna follow much of the video game story? Maybe a little bit. It seems like it's definitely going to do its own thing with the story. I mean, I guess the basis of the movie is the same, but like the, you know, the story of the kids and stuff. I don't know. We'll be getting into it. Don't worry about that. So we are going to be looking at the Wikipedia page for this right away, of course, as we always do. So, the premise. Mike Schmidt, a troubled security guard, accepts a nighttime job at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza, a once successful but now abandoned family entertainment center, where he discovers its four animatronic mascots, Freddy, Bonnie, Chica, and Foxy, move and kill anyone that is still there after midnight. Oh, so he discovers them. He discovers them moving. The way that sentence is done, it's just too much. Where he discovers its four animatronics move and kill anyone that is still there after midnight. So, the premise is goofy, but that's literally what happens in the game. So, that's to be expected. that's really all we have for a premise on the Wikipedia page here. Like, that's about it. Let me see. Apparently, Scott Cawthon said in 2018... so this is also a while ago, said if the first film is successful, there could be a second and third film following the events of the second and third games. Interesting concept. I don't know what you would... I guess you could do up to three. You could not do four, because four is literally just a kid at his house having nightmares. That's, like, pretty much it. So let's look at the cast right quick before we get into the trailer here. So we have Josh Hutcherson as the main. He is Mike Schmidt. We have Elizabeth Lail as Vanessa Shelley. That name doesn't ring a bell from the series. Piper Rubio as Abby Schmidt, so I'm assuming Mike Schmidt's sister. Matthew Lillard is in this movie as William Afton, the fucking purple guy. That's pretty fucking dope. Matthew Lillard, I guess Josh Hutcherson is also kind of a big deal. Those are really the main two stars of the movie, Josh Hutcherson and Matthew Lillard. Josh Hutcherson, of course, was in like Hunger Games. I didn't really care about that. I'm over here like, man, this dude was in Zathura and Bridge to Terabithia. That's all I care about from Josh Hutcherson. Matthew Lillard, of course, he was in Scream. He was Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo live-action movies. He was in a lot of the early 2000s, like, sex comedy dealios. He's been all around, so decent enough cast. I mean, you have two big names and some other names that I've never personally heard of, but we'll see. It seems like it's going to be an interesting movie at the very least. I'm happy it's like a big budget production movie, like it is produced by Blumhouse, so that's good. You can really say what you want to say about the Blumhouse movies, honestly. Like, they are very hit and miss. I don't care much for modern horror, if I'm being entirely honest. I don't really like modern anything, if I'm being entirely honest. Modern horror especially, though, is just so cheesy, so corny, so boring for the most part. I can see this movie being jump scare heavy, because that's literally what the game was. If it's not full of jump scares, then I don't know what the point of the movie is. And that's really all modern comedy is to an extent nowadays. So, I don't know. I'm not excited for it to be a modern, basic horror movie, but I'm hoping the story is at least interesting enough for me to continue watching. And even, you know, if a sequel comes out, maybe if this movie's good enough, I'll watch that. I don't know. We'll see. My hopes aren't too low for this. With that said, there is two trailers going on here. There's a first trailer, but then there's like an ultimate trailer. The first trailer, I believe, is more of like a teaser type dealio. But we're going to watch both. What is going on here? Oh, my music was playing there for a sec. If you heard that, that's exactly what that was. That was my music. So, we have the trailers pulled up. We have the first one. So, we're going to start at the first one and go from there. So, put my music on again. Don't want to listen to Silverchair right now. So, let's go. Is that Josh?
I was just calling to see if that Josh.
Yes, it is Josh. Oh, hurry.
I will take anything.
Place was huge in the 80s with the kids.
So it looks like Matthew Lillard is going to be featured prominently, which makes me happy. So his sister is a big part of the movie. That's not true to the game. Not necessary, I don't think. But we'll see. Producer of Megan, that's always a good sign, because that movie was fantastic.
Just keep your eyes on the monitor.
He's got the monitors. Ooh, 80s nostalgia stuff. Oh my god. Who the fuck is that? That's not an animatronic. Unless it is. Imagine. It's a cop. Oh, the cop lets him know about the animatronics. The animatronics look fucking dope. They would be easy to do realistically, but like, they look dope. Oh my god. Ow, my ears. Oh, this looks kind of sick, though. It's weird that I haven't seen the trailers up till this point, but I haven't.
The police searched Freddy's.
That looks like Jennifer Lawrence. I know it's not, but it looks like it is.
They never found
fucking Hunger Games, big time over here.
That's why the place shut down.
Oh.
There are ghost children.
I wonder how much of the animatronics moving we actually get to see. I'm going to be interested to see that. And I wonder how much of it's practical versus CGI. That's another thing that'll be interesting to see.
Tell me how to stop them.
So there's legitimate kids in the suits. Weird. Oh. This is like really like typical modern horror movie trailer where it's just like image. Okay.
Where to?
That guy's a YouTuber, I think. I think I read that. Okay, so Freddy likes the girl. That's good to know. I think that's probably going to be like her main point, her main gimmick in the movie, that she's the reason that Josh Hutcherson doesn't literally die, unless he does. So that was the first trailer. I'm trying to check here. Additional gaming YouTuber Corey X Kenshin has a cameo appearance as the taxi driver. I don't think I've ever watched any of his movies, but that's, or any of his YouTube videos, I should say. He was ranked the fourth top creator in the US in 2021. How have I never heard of him then? He's 30 years old. What does he do? He is a Christian. He has ectodermal dysplasia. Oh, that. Oh, what the fuck? What is that? he has anxiety and depression. Okay. That's, I'm not going to say that's cool. He played the FNAF games. Okay. He probably played them like at the time. Why couldn't, okay. There's a Five Nights at Freddy's movie. They got a YouTuber to star in it. But it's not the king of Five Nights at Freddy's. They didn't get my man Mark. If he doesn't show up at all, I'm going to be very upset. Honestly. I will boycott this movie and this franchise and Blumhouse as a whole if Markiplier does not show up even a tiny bit in this movie. Because if it wasn't for him, fucking hot topic, hot statement. What's the word I'm looking for? Something. Bold statement. I don't know. I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but I'm not getting it. If it wasn't for Markiplier, nobody would give a fuck about FNAF anymore. That's just, I said it. I'm going to continue saying that. I agree with that. Nobody would care if it wasn't for Markiplier. He really got the series on the map. There was other people doing the videos on it. I get it. But like, he was like one of the very first. Like, he's the fucking king of Five Nights at Freddy's. How do you not get him for the taxi driver role? Ridiculous. Anyway, we're on to the second trailer before I get too mad about Markiplier potentially not being in the movie. Starting my music again. My bad. Okay, second trailer. Let's go. I don't know how much of the second trailer is going to be the same as the first trailer, but I guess we'll see. We got some stages, we got some rooms. That doesn't look like anything that was in the game. Coins? Wait, people are raiding the fucking place? What? Oh, what's in the closet, bro? You better find out. You better open that damn thing. What the fuck in there? Nothing. You're good. Oh, you're not good. Cheek is about to butt fuck you, bro. Cheek is gonna peg you. Oh, the cupcake. The cupcake got in on the pegging. Okay. So this is stuff we saw in the first trailer. Not much different here. Oh, I fucking love Matthew Lillard. Hello. Love him. Welcome to Freddy's. She said the Balloon Boy thing. She literally sounded just like Balloon Boy. What the fuck? Foxy. Ooh, Foxy. Chica and Freddy. They look so good. Look at them. That's beautiful. Back in the 80s. Yeah, we get it. 80s. Welcome to modern horror movies. This is just it, but with animatronics. So. It's because the kids are in the suits, bro. Get used to it. Is the kid's body supposed to be in the suits, or is it like their souls? I kind of forget how that works. Okay, well, the hand reached out. So. I guess the kids are just in there. Alive. Just chilling inside the suits, not making any noise. Too late.
He's coming.
Oh, he's coming. Fucking Springtrap? Well, I guess that's. I'm trying to remember the story of the fucking first one. Springtrap's not in the first one, but that's like Purple Guy. That's like William Afton. It's like Matthew Lillard. I'm really trying to really remember the first game. It's been a while since I've played them. But, like, I know that essentially Matthew Lillard's character, William Afton, took these kids, killed these kids, stuffed them in suits, and then they made him get in the suit, the spring trap suit, the one that, like, it rips him. I don't know. I'm probably explaining that all sorts of fucking wrong. But based on everything I've seen here, based on the trailer, the Wikipedia, it seems like it's going to be a fine movie. It might not be, like, the greatest movie, but I'm definitely interested. I don't know why he has his sister. I don't know why that needed to be a thing. Kind of a bit set off by that. I am happy to see here, though. I was looking. The screenplay is partially written by Scott Cawthon, so that's good. I think they might have just given him the credit, seeing as, you know, he made the game, and they're basing it off the game. He might not have had anything to do with actually writing this screenplay, but either way, I feel like it's gonna be good. It's gonna be okay. I'm definitely interested. So I guess we'll see. The movie comes out on October 27th, 2023, so just at the end of this month. So I guess watch it when it comes out. I will hopefully be going to the theaters to see it. Anyway, let's move on to the digital video detail segment of the week. Alright, so it is time for the digital video detail segment of the week, and this is going to be probably the longest DVD segment we have ever had, because I have so many DVDs to go through. I'm going to try to do this in chronological order, but no promises here, because I have two stacks of DVDs to either side of me right now, just Quentin Tarantino DVDs, all of them. It's ridiculous, honestly. So we're going to start off with his first movie. And it's crazy because I have two copies of this, but I can't find the second one. They're both the 15th anniversary edition. Of course, this is Reservoir Dogs. I have a ring light now, and it's very glary. This is Reservoir Dogs, of course, his first film. Inside, you got DVD number one, and you got DVD number two. No booklets or anything. Which is kind of strange. It is the 15th anniversary edition. So you do have two discs. So let's do a little rundown. I'm going to have to do a rundown on all these, and it's going to be painful. So, Four Perfect Killers, One Perfect Crime. Critically acclaimed for its raw power and breathtaking ferocity, it's the brilliant American gangster movie classic from writer-director Quentin Tarantino. They are perfect strangers assembled to pull off the perfect crime, then their simple robbery explodes into a bloody ambush, and the ruthless killers realize one of them is a police informer, but which one? So, for special features here, newly remastered 16:9 widescreen, good, some audio specs, audio commentary, subtitles, Pulp Factoids viewer insider information about Reservoir Dogs and its sources of inspiration, Play It Fast and Loose documentary, so it's just a documentary, you got Profiling the Reservoir Dogs, featurette, a unique perspective into the criminal minds of the film's colorful characters, tipping guide, proper tipping etiquette, Reservoir Dog style, I like that, deleted scenes, classic interviews, K-Billy sounds of the 70s, and much more. So lots of features going on in the Reservoir Dogs DVD, very cool. Like I said, I do have another version of this same DVD. It is also the 15th anniversary edition. It's not like a big hunky case, it's more of like a smaller compact case. Don't know where it is. No fucking clue. So we are trying to go chronologically. So I'm trying to think of what would really come next after Reservoir Dogs. I mean, in general, his movies kind of went Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction. So we will go with Pulp Fiction. This is a beautiful DVD here. This is the collector's edition. It's got a little scuff here because it's been used by me. I've seen so many Pulp Fiction DVDs in my day, and I've wanted to get every single one of them, but I didn't. I have a weird fascination with Quentin, so I like collecting all of his things. Like, I have a cassette for this, like the soundtrack. I have a vinyl. I have two CDs of the soundtrack. I have that poster up there. Pulp Fiction is absolutely the greatest film ever made. So I'm obsessed with it. So out of the case, look at that. That's beautiful. This is like practically mint as well. Like, it's not perfectly mint. There's definitely some scuffs in usage, but it almost helps. It almost makes it better. On the back, you just got a plain back. I didn't even show the back of the Reservoir Dogs one, but that's okay. So you open it up, and right away, you have a pamphlet from Jackrabbit Slim's, the diner in the movie. This is brilliant. This is honestly brilliant. I don't know what's going on here. I have a little dent. On the inside, it shows literally nothing about the movie. It lists hamburgers, sandwiches. Like, look at this. This is honestly beautiful. It just lists things that you can get at Jackrabbit Slim's. Like, it's so detailed and it's so amazing. The $5 milkshake is literally called the $5 milkshake. I never realized that. It's just what it's called. It's not just milkshake, it's the $5 milkshake. So we'll put that aside. That is very cool. On the inside, of course, you got... Oh, shit, the DVD is falling out. One of the two. Oh, my God. So in here, you got the wolf. You got... What else is going on here? You got the diner scene going on. And, of course, you got the two DVDs. You got... It's upside down, and I don't want to flip it because I don't want to scratch it. But you got Vincent upside down. You got Jules in the background. You got Mia. Very cool. You got Butch. You got Marcellus. This is honestly one of my most prized possessions, especially because it's the collector's edition, and it came with the fucking menu. That's so dope. It is, like, literally one of my favorite things. The reason it's scuffed so much is because I usually have it on display wherever I go. So that's probably why it's damaged, realistically. I don't want to do the whole rundown, like the whole description of these movies off the back. I think that's just too much. But I will do the bonus material because I find that is interesting. So, Pulp Fiction, The Facts documentary, deleted scenes, The Charlie Rose Show interview with Quentin Tarantino, Siskel and Ebert at the movies, The Tarantino Generation, production design featurette, behind the scenes montages, interviews from the Independent Spirit Awards, Palme d'Or acceptance speech, Palme d'Or, reviews and articles analyzing the film, filmographies, theatrical trailers from around the world, TV spots, 8 different still galleries featuring hundreds of photos, soundtrack, chapter stops, enhanced playback track, synchronized trivia game, oh my god, I didn't even know that was a thing, screenplay viewer, and open mic commentary. I'm getting a DVD drive for my computer because my computer doesn't have one. I want to play that trivia game. I don't care how long it's been since I've seen the movie. I will nail it every fucking time. So now we're getting into weird territory because I have 2 DVDs here that aren't... They're kind of Tarantino movies, but they're not really Tarantino movies. He wrote the screenplay for this one, and I think he wrote the screenplay for this one too. What did he do for this one? He's got to be listed. Oh, it was written by him, but it wasn't, like, directed by him. So, we'll start with this one that he wrote the screenplay for and sold it. This is Natural Born Killers. Very strange DVD case. This is, like, a weird plastic, like, pop-open thing. And this is, like, a... No plastic to cover this. It's just, like, a cardboard thing. Very odd case. Inside, you just got fucking... what are their names? Mickey and Mallory, I think? Something like that. I have seen this movie quite a few times. It's just, it has been a while. And you have, of course, the DVD. It is widescreen, which is you always want. You never want full screen. Full screen is gay. Special features. Feature-length audio commentary by writer/director Oliver Stone, even though it credits Tarantino as the writer. I don't know about that, Chief. Behind-the-scenes documentary, Chaos Rising, The Storm Around the Natural Born Killers. Soundtrack remastered. Ooh, deleted scenes and alternate ending. Interactive menus, theatrical trailer, scene access. There is an alternate ending to fucking Natural Born Killers? Interesting. Very fucking weird movie. If you've never seen Natural Born Killers, I'll lend you the DVD. It's such a weird fucking movie, I'm being honest. This next one is a great one. I honestly forgot I even had this DVD. So this is the unrated director's cut of True Romance, a movie that was written by Tarantino, just not directed by him, so it doesn't count as one of his movies, technically. This is a beautiful fucking case, though. Like, look at that. The fucking glimmer's going on. It's beautiful. On the back, you got... I didn't show the back of Natural Born Killers either. Whatever. Disc 1, you got the remastered picture and sound for home theaters. Let me see... Deleted and extended scenes with optional director commentary. Alternate ending? What the fuck's up with the alternate endings here? Selective commentaries with Dennis Hopper, Val Kilmer, Brad Pitt, and Michael Rapaport. Val Kilmer? Oh, he was fucking Elvis. The man. I totally forgot Val Kilmer was in True Romance, but that's dope. Let me see. Interactive behind-the-scenes featurette. Ooh, I like interactive things. Animated phone photo gallery. Vintage 1993 featurette. Theatrical trailer, TV spots, cast and crew. Animated interactive menus. Beautiful. Enhanced features for your DVD-ROM PC. Screenplay viewer with storyboards, original production notes, and web links. Interesting. So taking this out of the case, it is in a little slippy case. Look at them. Lovers. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but that's okay. We got some damage going on here. What the fuck's going on with that? I don't recall that ever happening. So you got a bunch of shit going on here. I'm just going to show you that. I was trying to not get the glare in. It's beautiful. I love DVDs. There's nothing like holding a good movie. You never get that, but you love it. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. So that's True Romance. Not technically a Tarantino movie, along with Natural Born Killers. I believe next, chronologically, would be this one, which doesn't have a name. I don't know why it doesn't list it there. It is, of course, Jackie Brown. On the back, you got Michael Keaton. You got... what's his name? He was in... fucking Friday. Chris Tucker. That's who you got right there, I believe. Yeah, it looks like Chris Tucker. I know he was in this movie, so we'll say it was Chris Tucker. Okay, so you open this one up. Ooh, this is the collector's edition, and it also has a little pamphlet. I kind of forgot there was a pamphlet. It's just pictures, booklet contents. Oh my god, this is a fucking book. Holy shit, these are just words. It's just telling you stories. A letter from Elmore Leonard, executive producer and writer of Rum Punch. So this is just articles about the movie. That's very interesting. You never get that. That's cool. And then it lists what's in the films. Soundtrack, that's cool. I like when movies include the soundtrack. Normally it's like the collector's editions that do that. That's interesting. It lists Tarantino's, like, filmography. This is like, this whole list is just his filmography. Selected filmography. I've seen that term with him a couple times recently, and I don't quite understand it. Oh, this counts like everything he's done. Like, it lists Killing Zoe. He was an executive producer. I don't even know what that is, bro. He did an episode of ER. He did, like, there is so much stuff here that I didn't even know he did. So that's really cool. What else do we got in the pamphlet? Pam Grier's selected filmography. Oh my god. That's interesting. It just lists people's filmographies in here. Okay, so this is just the back of the pamphlet. Feature film scene selection. So that's just literally the names of the scenes. Okay. So inside the DVD case, you have a nice little cutout of Pam Grier. And you got Quentin there in the back. And, oh no. I am missing a DVD. Instead, we just get Pam and fucking Quentin. Where's the other one? Oh, no. It's probably in a fucking DVD player somewhere. Oh, man, that's unfortunate. God damn. Okay. Well, we have one. We have one Jackie Brown DVD going on. This next one's interesting. So I got me Kill Bill Volume 1, Kill Bill Volume 2. But in case you ever lose one, I also have a collection of Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. I don't know why. And it's kind of funny here in a minute. I'm going to explain why it's funny. We know Kill Bill. I don't know if I really need to get into the specifics with this one. I'll list the special features from the DVDs first off. That's what I'll do. So in Kill Bill Volume 1, special features, the making of Kill Bill, bonus musical performances by the 5678. Cool. And Quentin Tarantino movie trailers, including Kill Bill Volume 2. In Kill Bill Volume 2, you have deleted scene, just one. Behind the scenes look at making of Kill Bill Volume 2, featuring Quentin Tarantino. And Kill Bill Volume 2 premiere Shingon performance. Cool. So I don't think the Mix movie, this one. I don't think this has any special features. These are also not like collector's editions, so there's not really much interesting going on with those. There is little pamphlets though. Ooh. Wait a damn minute. Proof of purchase. What? No way. Okay. Let me take this one out. This one actually kind of looks interesting. It's a whole fold-out piece. You just take the whole thing out. This is French, so you're reading the English part. Bill the Killer Thriller. Ooh, that's interesting. That's a nice little pull-out. What did all this say on it? Buy these... Oh, see here. Look. This Reservoir Dogs Special Edition. That's the one I have. It's just in a DVD packaging. Yeah. I don't know why. Like, I lost that one, I guess. I don't know where it is. So that's the pamphlet for Kill Bill. We already went over the special features and stuff. Is there a cool pamphlet for Volume 2? It looks to be, like, the same idea. Let me see. Yes, it is another pull-out, and you're also reading the English version again. Cool. Yeah. Interesting. I like the little... It's different, you know? Oh, and, you know, I am bilingual... I'm not bilingual, but I'm Canadian. You can flip out the cover of this. There's a second cover, and it's all French. So, gotta love that shit. Cool. So that's all the Kill Bills. So that is my Quentin Tarantino DVD collection. Now we're on to the Blu-ray collection, because I went and bought this recently. It is a Blu-ray set of Quentin Tarantino DVDs. And why I thought it was funny that I have so many versions of Kill Bill on DVD, like I have fucking this whole cluster of them. I have 3 different incarnations of Kill Bill. Why I thought that was funny, I'm just going to slip all these DVDs out here. You'll notice I did line these up chronologically from the bottom. So we have Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill Volume 1. We do not have Kill Bill Volume 2. Heartbreaking, that is. I also realized that I have Death Proof on DVD too, but I wasn't able to find that. But I do have all these Blu-rays. I have not opened these. These are still sealed in plastic. I did buy this secondhand though, which is probably why I'm missing Kill Bill Volume 2. But these are all Blu-rays. It's beautiful. I only paid $20 for this box set, which, I mean, not bad. The box is in rough shape. Like, it's kind of... It doesn't really seem like it's in rough shape on camera, but I assure you it is. We will do a little rundown of all of these DVDs, just a little one. First, we got Reservoir Dogs, of course, the one with the first. 1080p high resolution, 16x9 widescreen edition, Pulp Factoids. Literally all the same stuff that was on the actual collector's edition DVD, which I suppose that does make sense. Next, we got... Pulp Fiction. Beautiful. I will never take these out of the wrapping, by the way. I have no need to, honestly. Like, with streaming services nowadays, it's much cooler as an unopened collector's item than anything else. I will also never sell it. Oh, there's some different stuff on this one, it looks like. Retrospective cast interviews, Critics Corner, Then and Now, deleted scenes, you got some documentaries. It appears to be the same after that, like the interviews and such. That's very cool. Let's go to the next one, which is Jackie Brown. Boom. Very nice. Special features. Looks to be all about the same. I don't show the backs of these enough. I'm sorry. My bad. You get the front. That's the most important part. Yeah, I have my one and only Kill Bill Blu-ray. I don't have the second one. I am tracking down the second one. If you have the second one on Blu-ray and it's unopened, let me know. I'm looking for Kill Bill Volume 2 on Blu-ray unopened. Death Proof, one of Tarantino's movies. I always wondered if this was considered a Tarantino movie. I thought it was like one of those ones. Like, it's Grindhouse. But I found out what Grindhouse is it's a collection of films. There's 2 films in Grindhouse. And one of them is written and directed by Robert Rodriguez. One of them is written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. This is the Quentin one. So this does count as a Quentin Tarantino movie. Special features on this one, you got Stunts on Wheels, The Legendary Drivers of Death Proof, Introducing Zoe Bell, Kurt Russell as Stuntman Mike, Finding Quentin's Gals, the uncut version of Baby It's You, performed by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, The Guys of Death Proof, Quentin's greatest collaborator, editor Sally Mank, Double Dare trailer, Death Proof International trailer, an international poster gallery, and BD Live, whatever that means. Cool. And next, we have one of Quentin's best movies, in my opinion, Inglourious Basterds. Very, very nice film. I was thrown off the first time I watched it. We're going to talk about Tarantino's movies later. Maybe I should just talk about the DVDs for now. So this is the back of it, without the glare. You got some high-def features and additional features, I don't know why. Extended and alternate scenes, roundtable discussion with Quentin Tarantino, Brad Pitt, and Elvis Mitchell, The Making of Nation's Pride, A Conversation with Rod Taylor, and more. Nation's Pride, the film within the film. Oh, so it's like the whole film within the film. Cool. The original Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino's Camera Angel, not Angle, film poster gallery tour, and more. Dope. And last but not least, we have Django. Never seen Django. We'll talk about that later on as well. Special features. We got, oh my god, it literally uses the fucking font from Red Dead Redemption under the special features. Dope. Gotta love that shit. So we got Reimagining the Spaghetti Western, The Horses, plus Stunts of Django Unchained, Remembering J. Michael Riva, The Production Design of Django Unchained, Costume Designs of Sharon Davis, 20 Years in the Making, Quentin XX Blu-ray Collection, and Django Unchained Soundtrack Spot. That is all the DVDs. That was long as I thought it was gonna be. Very nice though. I have a very nice Quentin collection. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to show off all the DVDs I have, because like I said, like, I have another version of Reservoir Dogs, I have Death Proof on DVD, I just wasn't able to find them. It is what it is. I think that collection enough is addictive. It proves that I am addicted to Tarantino, so it's good enough for me. But let's move on to the main event of the evening, where we talk about some more Quentin Tarantino. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the main event of the evening, and we are going to be ranking Quentin Tarantino's movies. Every single one of them. So, he does have movies that aren't really considered his movies. Like, he has writing credits on a few movies, producer credits on a few movies. He only currently has 10 movies that he has actually written and directed. Those are the ones that we are counting today. Now, he counts it as 9 movies, because we have Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2. He counts that as one movie, so I guess it's 9. For the sake of this video, and for the sake of it being easier to do it this way, he considers Kill Bill one movie, I'm going to consider Kill Bill one movie. So let's run down all of his movies that will be eligible for this list. So from top to bottom, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, Death Proof, Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, The Hateful Eight, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I have seen all of these movies except for Django Unchained. I don't know why I never got around to it. I really want to get around to it. It's just, I haven't. It's really strange that I haven't got around to it even to this point, so I have to at some point. In ranking this, I am going to keep in mind that I haven't watched it, so it's not going to get a high rating, simply because I haven't seen it. It's not because I feel any sort of way towards the movie, it's not because I don't like it, simply because I haven't seen it. So I'm actually going to be putting Django at the bottom spot, which would be number 9, I guess. So wait, let me check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, so Django Unchained makes number 9, simply because I haven't seen it. So from there, it's hard because I do have an affection for like all of these movies, a special feeling towards these movies. I think the one that's really standing out as a good number 8 for me is The Hateful Eight. Not only because it has the number 8 in the title, just it's a great movie. I just feel like it's probably one of my least favorite of his. I have no bad feelings towards these movies. I will state that again and again and again. I love all of these movies, so it is very difficult. The Hateful Eight, though, it's a more recent movie of his, and it's a very westerny, old school type movie. I don't really care for westerny movies. I'm just not super into it, so I can't put it too high on the list. So Hateful Eight is number 8. It's very fitting, isn't it? So beyond this point, it gets more difficult somehow. Right now I'm thinking I'm between like Death Proof and Jackie Brown. I'm gonna put Death Proof, I think, in number 7. Honestly, it's just that movie, it's different. It's a different kind of movie. It doesn't feel like a Tarantino movie a lot of the time. It's just, it's very different. You can tell it's a grindhouse movie. Like, it was, you know, clearly him and Robert Rodriguez working together. It shows. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just, it's very different. It's not a typical Tarantino movie. I don't like the car chase at the end, which is like the main point of the movie. I find it just drags out way too long. Like, anytime I watch it, it feels like it's like a 30-minute scene. And like, not used to that. Like, it's just so crazy. They put fucking Zoe Bell on that fucking rooftop of that car for way too long. I don't know how she did it. So I think Death Proof's gonna be number 7, followed right behind Jackie Brown. I think Jackie Brown's a good number 6 here. Great movie. Great movie. Pam Grier's great. That old guy's great. Robert Forrester, I think his name is. You also got like Michael Keaton in that movie. You got a decent cast in Jackie Brown. Very good movie. But the other ones on the list are just, it's getting harder. So number 5, I am thinking, I'm going to put in, I don't know. I'm definitely stuck between Inglourious Basterds and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think. Because, I mean, the other ones are just classics. Oh, shit. So, I'm going to get rid of the ones that I already have listed so that I don't confuse myself. So, we're currently dealing with Inglourious Basterds, Once Upon a Time, Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction, and Reservoir Dogs. So, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to have to go Inglourious Basterds for number 5. It's an amazing movie. And I said that, and I will say it over and over and over again. Great movie. The translations. That one was like, I was waiting on that sneeze for like a while. So I'm happy that finally came out. Oh, where was I going? Inglourious Basterds. Incredible movie. It's very different as well because it's mostly not English. I don't know if I'd say it's mostly not English, but there's like a lot of large portions of the movie where they're speaking different languages. And subtitles is fine. I'm not used to like dubs anyway. Like, I wouldn't have liked it if it was dubbed. I like it. It feels nice that it's a different, like, that it is actually the different language, not just, you know, some hokey fill-in lines afterwards. It's a great story. I love everything about it. It's, of course, in, you know, Germany in, you know, the 40s, I think. I'm very terrible with time. I don't like history much at all. Yeah, it is 1941. I'm not stupid. I'm just kind of stupid. I don't like Westerns and I don't like war movies. But this one isn't, I don't really know if I consider it entirely a war movie. Like, it is definitely a war movie. But it's not like, you know, battlefields and stuff. It's like, hey, let's kill Hitler. Like, it's very fun. Very dramatic. Very suspenseful in, like, every scene. Great film. I will never shit on this film, but it gets number 5 simply because what we're dealing with, like, these last 4 is just, it's different. It really is. I think number 4 in general is going to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. No, once again, great film. Of course, it takes place in the 60s. I thought, like, when the movie was first announced, I thought it was just going to be about, you know, Charles Manson. I thought that was going to be it. It's not that it doesn't involve Charles Manson entirely, but it doesn't. He shows up for like 2 seconds. It's a great movie though. It's got a great cast, great story. A bit long, but like Tarantino movies normally are. So I mean, I can't really say anything there. I was gonna go see this movie in theaters. I was gonna go with a friend. Friend fucked me over. I didn't get to go see it in theaters. I didn't see it until like late 2019. I was gonna say 2020. I didn't see it till like late 2019. But when I did see it, it was a great film. I still watch it every now and again to this day, as I do with all Tarantino movies, honestly. But yeah, that's my number 4. So now, we're down to the nitty-gritty. We're down to, like, the classic Tarantino movies. When you think of Quentin Tarantino, you think of Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and Kill Bill. That is simply how you think of Tarantino. So, we're going to put Kill Bill at Volume 3. We're going to put Kill Bill at number 3. Incredible set of movies Kill Bill is. Probably his most passionate story. Probably his most emotional story. Very well done. Everything about these movies is fantastic. I find there's a lot of parts where he's establishing the story of, like, her getting her revenge, where it can kind of drag on a little bit. Like, a lot of the training scenes can drag on a bit. I like watching the whole Bloody Affair version of this movie, which is it's both of the movies put together with deleted scenes spliced in. So you get a lot more training stuff in the whole Bloody Affair version too, which is, like, you know, it drags on a little bit. That's really my only complaint about the Kill Bill. That's really my only complaint. And it's not even a complaint. It's not even a complaint. I get why it's there. It's important. It needed to be there. It's just, it's a lot, you know. But Kill Bill definitely gets number 3. And I think it's pretty obvious what is going to be the number 1. So, number 2 is Reservoir Dogs. His first movie and, dare I say, his second best. It's an incredible film. I would strongly recommend Reservoir Dogs to anybody who likes any kind of film. It is a perfect introduction to Tarantino, because if you jump right into, like, Pulp Fiction, like I did, it can be very off-putting at first, because, like, it's a great movie, Pulp Fiction is, but, like, it's long, there's a lot of intertwining stories, it's crazy, there's a lot going on. But with Reservoir Dogs, it's amazing, but it's simple enough that you can follow it, and you know everything that's happening. You don't have to ask questions. You just sit on your ass and you watch. And it is fantastic. One of the greatest pieces of media ever to exist. I would argue probably the greatest first film from a director ever. I could be wrong about that. But I would say, given the circumstances of how Reservoir Dogs came to be, greatest first film of any director ever. It's insane. It's phenomenal. So Reservoir Dogs gets a number 2, and Pulp Fiction obviously gets number 1. Pulp Fiction was the first Tarantino movie I ever watched, and it's insane. From the get-go, it is funny, it is violent, it is suspenseful, it is thrilling, it's just, it's everything. It is such a fucking smorgasbord of cinema. It is everything. It takes elements from, like, every kind of fucking movie. It is all over the place. There's 3 different stories all going, like, simultaneously. They mix up a bunch. The film is not chronological at all, which fucked me over the first time I watched it, because I didn't understand shit that was going on. But oh my god. If you piece it together, like, it's the kind of movie you cannot watch it once. You cannot. You need to watch it multiple times. I swear to God, I've probably seen it at least 10 times at this point. And I was only introduced to it in, like, 2016, somewhere around there. I watch it at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. It is my absolute favorite movie ever made. It is just the perfect film. If you haven't seen it, you're listening to a movie podcast right now. I want you to realize that. Pulp Fiction, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, is not only the greatest movie of the 90s, it's the greatest movie ever made. It will never be topped. It has never been topped. There's not even a close second, in my opinion. Let me know what you think. Do you think Pulp Fiction is the greatest movie ever made? Do you think I am just a huge Tarantino mark? I mean, I wouldn't disagree. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Let me know on social media at This Is Dilly. I hope you all have enjoyed this episode of the Final Cut Movie Podcast. It's been a good one. It's been a long one for sure. How long has it been? It's been like probably 50 minutes, roughly. Yeah, it's been about 50 minutes. That's a good length, I find. Next week, I have no clue what I'm doing yet. I'm still planning. So we'll see when that happens. But once again, from the bottom of my heart, everybody listening to this right now, if you've made it to this point, I appreciate you so very much. If you would like to support me in any way, that would be perfect. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, as I mentioned, at This Is Dilly. Go to dillyapparel.ca. I'm going to keep plugging it. I need to get this out. It's the only way to financially support me whatsoever. If you are really enjoying this podcast, you don't have to. If you can't, that's fine. But if you want to, if you have the urge, if you think that I put out a good enough product each week and you want cool shirts, cool sweaters, cool fanny packs, cool hats, cool baby onesies, cool, you name it, everything. I have so much going on dillyapparel.ca. New stuff's being added all the time, and I do appreciate your support. With that said, once again, thank you all very much for watching. I've been your host. This is Dilly, and that was the Final Cut Movie Podcast. That's a wrap, folks.